You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
The largest alcohol market in the United States is the state of California, and the second largest alcohol distributor in the United States is shutting its doors and pulling out of the state. If you want to know why and what this means for consumers, then stick around. Before we get started, I have to thank the patron members. Without the patron support that we're receiving, we could not produce this podcast, and everyone's names that are on the screen right now are contributing at the top three levels. And if you want to hear more about how you can support this channel, you should stick around till the end. Now for some disclaimers. So one of the things I want to say is, as we talk through the subject, one of the main contributing factors was union contracts. And we are going to have to discuss unions in this educational video, but I want you to know I'm not taking a stand for or against unions. It's just impossible to discuss this subject without talking about the union contract impact. So let me give you a basic understanding about how the three-tier system works. I'm going to breeze through this just in case my regular viewers are tired of hearing it. There are three tiers in the United States. The first tier is the producer, and that is the company that puts it in a bottle, and they have a special license to do so. It is illegal for producers to sell direct to consumers in general. We have a three-tier system, and they have to sell that product to a wholesaler or a distributor. And typically, you would have at least one wholesaler for each state. And then the wholesaler will sell that product to retailers, bars, and restaurants. And so what we're talking about is a wholesaler who's the middle tier pulling out of what should be their number one target state altogether and releasing all of these producers from their contractual obligations to them. And now all of a sudden, all these producers are scattering and trying to find somebody else to represent them in the state. As a caveat, though, this is an oversimplification. Sometimes there is a fourth tier where retailers sell to bars and restaurants, and they have to have a special license for that. Sometimes there's an importer that stands between the producer and the wholesaler. But generally speaking, we are a three-tier system. So understanding the three-tier system is probably going to make you a little bit irritated as a consumer. So basically, they created three-tier system laws back in 1933, post-Prohibition. And if you research it, basically the laws were written by gangsters to make sure that they maintain their stranglehold over alcohol distribution in the United States. And those gangsters have written those laws and been able to keep them in place basically unchanged since 1933. Now, we talked about it in brief, but the wholesaler has three roles that they perform for the producers, and the first of which is for them to sell the product. In fact, in some states, it was illegal for a producer to go out and talk to retailers or talk to bars and restaurants about their product unless their wholesale rep was with them, because it is the wholesaler's job to do the marketing and promotion for the producer. They also have to warehouse product, and it's their responsibility to handle the logistics of moving the product from the warehouse to whoever the purchaser is, a retailer, bar, or restaurant. And you should also know that they make 30 margin points on average in the spirits industry to perform those three roles. And so when you run the numbers on who is making what money from the sale of a bottle, you quickly find out that the wholesalers make more money per bottle than the producer does, who actually made the product. And the main issue in this particular instance is the sales for large brands, okay? So companies like Tito's and Brown-Forman and Gallo Wines realized that they were paying for sales support, but they didn't really need sales support, right? And this is basically why they fired RNDC in California, right? RNDC had some problems, though. It has salespeople, it has logistics people, it has warehouse people, people who manage the buildings and equipments and trucks, etc. And their structure and all of their financing agreements and their benefits packages and all that stuff is structured around the concept of them getting paid that full 30% for handling, sales, warehousing, and logistics, right? But for about the last three decades, RNDC has also been negotiating in partnership with their largest competitor, Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits in the state of California, to come up with their union contracts. And when I found that out, I thought that felt a little bit weird to me, right? Because RNDC and Southern Glazer's together represent what would be nearly a monopoly for the wholesale distribution tier, and they were partnering together in their negotiations with the Teamsters Union. And what that ended up meaning is that if you were a union member, it didn't matter if you drove a forklift at a RNDC warehouse or a Southern Glazer's warehouse, you were making the same amount of money. And in some ways, that kind of took competition out of the market, if you ask me. Now, obviously, whoever's negotiating those contracts on behalf of the union members felt like it was a good idea, obviously, or they wouldn't have done it. But when you look at this situation, that felt a little bit weird to me. Hey, nice hat.
Hey, thanks. Nice lanyard.
Nice rocks glass.
Thanks, man. Nice travel case.
Nice blend topper.
Thank you. Nice candle.
Nice bottle bag.
Thanks, man. That's a nice tumbler.
Nice woman's t-shirt.
Oh, thanks. Nice extra schmedium shirt.
Get yourself some nice things and get all the compliments that come along with it. Shop bourbonrealtalk.com.
So when you look at the big picture in this situation, you have a giant wholesaler who is representing a huge percentage of the distribution in the state of California. And they probably weren't getting a full 30 points off of a brand like Tito's or Brown-Forman or Gallo Wines. But their gross margin was certainly partially to cover the cost of sales support. And those are brands that are going to have pretty much all call-in orders. They don't need as much sales support. They're brands that are large enough that they have their own salespeople in market that work directly for the producer. And so now that producers have created their own market demand and they have their own in-market sales support, they didn't want to pay for sales support any longer. And RNDC losing sales volume that pays to keep the doors open means that they need to do cutbacks, right? And so in one example, years ago, Sazerac made this move. And when Sazerac pulled away from RNDC, before they terminated the relationship, they gave them the opportunity to keep the warehousing and logistics portion of the business, but to just get paid a lower amount. But the problem is that RNDC, because of union contracts and leases and all of these things, they have a fixed set of costs that are set up to operate at that higher margin, and they just can't afford to all of a sudden change their cost structure for their customers unless they're gonna be able to make some other changes. And so, you know, what a normal business would do is maybe they'd shut down some locations, maybe they'd lay off some employees, there's some people that they don't need if they're not going to be helped.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit legally.
Handling sales anymore, right? So maybe they're going to cut pay rates for some individuals and whatnot. But some expenses can't be cut, right? Like you can't make the truck that you leased any cheaper simply because you have, you know, lower income coming in. That's not going to work. But in most cases, what they would have needed to do to create financial stability is prohibited because of the contracts that they were in, mainly their union contract. So RIDC found itself in a situation where they're set up to provide a service that their big customers no longer need. And what they would need to do to adjust for this new market environment is not possible because of all of the contracts that they're in place. So they're faced with either operating at a massive loss or shutting down. And under the circumstances, they had no choice but to shut down. So other wholesalers are already set up to provide those warehousing and logistics services for big brands. Most of those companies were already operating in the beer space. And so it was easy for these producers like Tito's to go out and find somebody else that was prepared to operate at the lower profit margin because they were already doing it in the space, probably for beer. And RNDC just couldn't compete with those services. So I would say that the end result of this is that many of the employees that provided specifically physical labor for RNDC will be needed by the new distributors, right? And so they are going to need more forklift drivers and truck drivers and, you know, all of that type stuff, the people that did the physical things. And I think in the short term, this may actually limit consumer access to lesser known products because some of the smaller producers may not be able to find somebody to replace RNDC. And they're not able to just go to a beer distributor who only does logistics because they actually do need some in-market sales support. But I think that this type of change in the long run will be a good thing for consumers because the wholesalers have had a stranglehold on the industry for so long that it was possible for them to back shelf a product. So if a newer brand like the Prideful Goat came along, they could say, yeah, we'll sign you up, and they'll put in a little order and put a little bit of inventory in their warehouse. But then if their salespeople never give the brand any attention and you're in this contract with RNDC and you can't switch to somebody else, it basically made it so that you can never sell your product in that state, right? And there wasn't a whole lot you could do to force the wholesaler to do the job of providing sales support for your product. And so I think in the long run, the larger producers taking away the easy money that caused the wholesalers to get fat and happy will force wholesalers to actually start performing the services that they're being paid for. And if that does happen, we could see some shifts where there are people out there promoting smaller brands because that's the only way that they have to make money. And they could actually end up taking market share away from the large conglomerate brands that currently clog up the shelves and make it so that there's no space for new people to enter into the market. So I think in the long run, this could lead to more consumer choice, but in the short run, it's probably going to make it difficult for consumers to find the smaller brands that were being distributed by RNDC. It's probably going to make it difficult for people who didn't do physical work for RNDC, like accountants and managers and things like that, because the companies that are picking that business up are just going to try and push that volume all over their already existing administrative staff. And so that's not going to be good for those employees. And certainly my heart goes out to anybody that's going to end up losing their job and not be able to get rehired in the industry by somebody else that's picking up that business. So hopefully that gives you an idea. This is actually a huge change and a shift in the industry. It's wild that this is happening, and it certainly points to some change coming for consumers in the future. So we're going to give away some whiskey, but since there's no particular brand associated with this, I figured I'd just give away some Prideful Goat. I did have distribution in the state of California at one point, But I did a whole video about why I had to fire my wholesaler, and it was over these types of issues. They weren't providing support for me in the market. And so I figured, let's give away some Prideful Goats, since Prideful Goats actually had to deal with this particular issue. So we're going to do 5 1-ounce sample packs that is going to include a brand new, never released before, Prideful Goat 9-Year Rye that we actually put together as a special release for the Blind Barrels package that just dropped last week. Well, actually, I don't know when this video is going to come out, so I'm not sure when the Blind Barrels package dropped for you, but it came out recently. We're going to pair that with an 8-year rye and a 6-year rye, and I figured that'd be a little fun tasting for you to do so you can see what aging does to my whiskey. And all you have to do to enter to win is like this video, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell for future notifications, because that's going to tell you about new content, but also new giveaways, because we do one on every video. And most importantly, you have to go to YouTube in the video description and fill out the web form that says free giveaway. We will run a randomizer, post results publicly for accountability, and we will reach out to the winner to get your address and ship your samples absolutely for free. If you like this content and you want to support the channel, you could check out our Patreon. We've got membership levels for all budgets. You could check out the merch that we have at bourbonrealtalk.com that was curated by whiskey people for whiskey people. And last but not least, I'm a residential real estate agent in the Dallas and Houston metro area. So if you need services in either market, reach out to me. You can find links for how to support the channel all three ways in the video description. And if this is your first time tuning into the channel, I'd love to tell you a little bit about our philosophy and why we do what we do. Yes, whiskey is great, but we are mostly about bringing people together around whiskey. And that's because I lost a loved one to suicide, and I was looking for ways to create community and connection, the type of connection that my brother was missing whenever he decided that, you know, this life wasn't worth living anymore. And I saw how whiskey was bringing people together, and I thought maybe if I could get you connected to whiskey, whiskey would do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. So we started this channel, which has been successful. We've been able to do a lot of really great things, and we parlayed that into creating Bourbon Real Talk Community, which is a free Facebook-based whiskey enthusiast community you can go join right now. Lots of good things going on in there. In fact, it's been so successful that we were able to start a 501c3 that is suicide prevention and intervention called livestayproject.org. And we do a lot of philanthropy work in there. So that's really awesome. And part of the reason why we created our own forum was because if you get involved in whiskey enthusiast forums, you will see some negativity out there. And we feel like that negativity gets in the way of our main mission. So we created our own platform where we didn't allow that troll behavior. But in addition to teaching us we needed to do that, those trolls taught us a second lesson. And that is that if they can hate a stranger online, we can love a stranger online. And that's why we end every episode the same way. And that's this. If you woke up this morning, you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that I love you. And I'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk.